Welcome to the Real Reel podcast with Natalie Barbu. Instagram might be your highlight reel, but we're here to talk about the real reel. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Real Reel podcast with me, Natalie Barbu. In today's episode, I am interviewing one of my very, very good friends and closest friends and someone that has known me for a very long time, Grace Lee. She is a New York City resident and moved here a year before I did. So all the time before I was actually moving here, I would always text her and like talk about wanting to move there, visiting her, really seeing the New York experience for the first time with Grace, which is crazy. We've done so much together. Like all of the Fashion Week experiences that I've had been with her. We hung out all the time in college. She was just someone that I've been really close to for a long time, and I really cherish friendships like that. So I'm really excited to have her on the podcast, and I honestly cannot believe that it's been that long since I've had her on the podcast. Like, I should have had her one of my first episodes since moving here, but it's just our schedules are so conflicting. So I'm really excited to have her on the podcast because she is just such an amazing person. And honestly, she's been through a lot. So I'm excited to have her share her story. And just, I think we can all relate when we're kind of in a phase where we don't know what we're going to do next, or we're in that in between, we're in a waiting period, or things didn't work out the way that they were supposed to. And I think we can all learn and relate from that. So I'm really happy to have her on and share her story. She also has a podcast where she actually really goes into topics like that. Like, she talks about so many different seasons of life that have to do with patience, that have to do with faith, that have to do with living in New York is one of them, and like disappointments and everything in between. So definitely check out her podcast as well. I'm going to have everything in the show notes, but Grace is one of my closest friends, and just recording with her was so much fun. We were recording on my living room floor, and this was the moment where I decided I was no longer going to do not in-person podcasts anymore, because the energy between us was just so great. Like, just being in person and being able to talk to each other face to face and not over a screen, because a lot of times when I'm doing virtual podcasts, it's a lot of like interrupting each other and then being like, oh, sorry, go ahead, or like, oh, no, it's fine, you go ahead. And it's just the flow isn't there, the quality isn't there. So I think I'm just going to stick to in-person podcasts, like either based in New York when I visit LA, and then also if I'm traveling, finding people to podcast in that city so I get a variety of guests on. So if you guys have suggestions for who to interview, check out the private Facebook page and you guys can leave me some suggestions there. Before we get into the episode, though, since I don't like my intros being very long, I want to thank you guys for reviewing my podcast. And I always like doing a reviewer of the week just to really highlight how much they mean to me. So this one is from Megan Wood. She says, this is easily one of my favorite podcasts. I religiously listen to quite a few each week. I love in particular when you discuss business from the lens of an entrepreneurial startup and everything that goes along with the process. It's so inspiring. Even though I work a normal job, would you consider having someone on the podcast who is more at the beginning stages? She then gave me an example in the review and why that brand gave her attention. And then she was like, overall, I encourage anyone who needs inspiration to listen to this podcast. So I love these types of reviews because she's being very, very honest and like she's so nice about it, but also being like, hey, I'd love if you could have this person on. It just gives me a lot more ideas because I make this podcast for you. So hearing your suggestions and actually hearing someone that you guys would want on the podcast means a lot to me, because you guys are like know my brand and like know the podcast and know that they would be a good fit. So it gives me a really, really good idea. So thank you so much, Megan, for giving that review. It was so sweet and also very, very constructive. So again, thank you for that. But anyways, before I keep rambling, I really can't wait for you guys to hear this conversation that I had with Grace. Hi, Grace. Thanks so much for being on my podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on. This has been like such a long time coming. I can't believe you weren't one of the first people I had on.
I know.
Like, how long have we said that we were going to be on each other's podcasts?
Probably like months ago.
Yeah. Literally like a year ago when I told you I was starting a podcast and you were like, I want to start a podcast. We should have had each other on, and
I know
we failed.
But now here we are.
So I am going to start off with setting the record straight, which, if you guys don't know, it's where I say some assumptions or stereotypes, and then Grace, you're going to say if they're true or false based on your own experiences. The first one is, moving to New York City is easy.
False.
Yeah.
Definitely. It is not an easy task. I feel mm-hmm. like there's a lot of steps and things that go into planning and making that move.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, I feel like it's so much harder than you think. Like, you know it's going to be hard, and then it's harder, I feel like.
Always,
like, just moving from a different place.
For sure.
When did you move here again?
So, I moved here the summer after graduation, so 2017.
Right, yeah. No, I remember your process. It was, like, a quick, like, I'm moving, and you, like, were here within, like, the month. Yeah,
you know, like, I got my job the same month I got... No, I got my job the same... day I got my apartment, and then the move was like a week after.
That's crazy.
So yeah.
And the next one is, working for a corporate company is better than working for yourself.
I would say false for that. Mm-hmm. Just from my previous experience, I guess the type of person I'm very independent in the sense that I like to have my own freedom when it comes to like what I'm passionate about. And I bet we're going to dive a little bit more deeper into that. So I'll explain there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it definitely depends on the type of person you are. But Grace and I are similar in that way, where we like being very independent and in charge of our own like careers.
Yeah.
And the next one is, social media is a full-time job.
It is definitely a full-time job. And it's always on the clock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I feel like you can't turn it off. You know, people are commenting on your post at midnight. And yeah, you don't have to respond right then and there. Mm-hmm. But it's always on, you know, like people, you could post a photo at 9 p.m. Like, you don't have to just post in the hours between 9 to 5 or like stories. I feel like especially something that you should be doing at all times to keep your audience engaged. So, yeah, it's hard to kind of set a time limit on it. And I don't know, you can't really schedule stories and stuff like that either.
No,
can you?
You can't. You know, I wish there was a scheduling tool for that. But, you know, whoever wants to create that, that's going to save a lot of people's jobs. So,
well, I think that like legally Instagram doesn't let you schedule stuff. That's
yes,
what I've heard.
But I've, at least with the job that I currently had, I was able to like schedule posts.
Okay.
And you know, there's always that thing where technology always fails, so it's not always consistent.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it works.
Yeah. So now just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Where do I begin? I am a social media strategist and a content creator. I have done social media management for about 10 years now, starting with my personal brand back in college. And then I started becoming more interested in like influencer marketing through those years, and working with other influencers and brands and really helping other clients like understand how influencer marketing works, because it was something newer then. And then from there, I started doing more content creation for clients. And this was also a part of, like, this was a part-time job for me, basically, like a side hustle on top of the full-time social media coordinator position that I had working for a startup. And it was a lot of, I guess, time that was spent outside of work that I was trying to maintain, and at the same time have a healthy balance of sleeping and socializing and getting everything done.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've just had a lot of experience with social media management, consulting, content creation, all of that.
Yeah, no, you've been killing it in the social media game. Like, I feel like you keep up with it so well.
Thank you. It's really hard to, and I feel like a lot of, you know, a lot of people assume that social media is just taking a photo and posting it.
Oh, no.
And they're like, yeah, I know how to do that for brands. But it really is like truly knowing the brand's audience and understanding what it is that they want and how to engage with them in a unique way.
Yeah, no, you said it perfectly. And I've actually said before, I think I've mentioned it on my podcast, but I feel like the reason why Instagram isn't taken seriously or YouTube isn't taken seriously is because anyone can do it. Because literally any person can have an Instagram account. Most people do. You know, like your grandma has a Facebook account, your mom has an Instagram, like your brother has a Snapchat. Like everyone has social media. So then when you say like, oh, it's my job, it's like, okay, like I do Instagram also, like
it's
how is it your job, you know? So it's like one of those things where people don't realize that it is a job because they think that they can do it too since they have the account.
Right.
So I just wanted to take a quick break to thank TM Soft's White Noise Sleep Sounds for sponsoring today's episode. Are you having trouble sleeping, focusing, or relaxing? If the answer is yes, then TM Soft's White Noise Sleep Sounds podcast has got you covered. This hour-long podcast is made to help you get rid of distractions, reduce stress, relax, and get better sleep. You can listen to the sounds of nature, white noise, relaxing music, and so much more. You can check out the TM Soft's White Noise Sleep Sounds podcast on Spotify or wherever else you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I always think that that's the reason why, whether if you, when you're like, oh, I just booked a TV role, it's like, oh my God, that's so cool, because it's not like everyone on the street can book a TV role or go on TV. So I think that's the difference of why it's not as well respected, but it's like, okay, great. If you don't think it's my job or you don't think it's hard, then I would love to see you make money off of it.
Right.
You know, it's not that easy. Mm-hmm. So that's like the way I describe it, like why it's not taken seriously in like society, I guess I should say, right now. But I definitely think that's going to change, but it's still, I don't know, I feel like it's still gonna not be as well respected as other things in the entertainment industry.
I agree.
I think so. Yeah. And me and you actually met on social media.
We did.
So Grace and I, a little story time for you guys, we met my freshman year of college and your sophomore year of college. Mm-hmm. I was a freshman at NC State and Grace went to UNC. And your roommate followed me. So Mackenzie had followed me.
Yeah.
And I clicked on Mackenzie and then I went on a rabbit hole of her photos. And then I saw this girl that she was with and I clicked on her and I saw that she was a blogger. And I was like, wait, there's another like person on social media that like does social media thing, like, because I was still doing YouTube at that time. I was like, oh my gosh, there's someone that does like blogging in the area, because NC State and UNC are like 30 minutes apart. So I followed you. And then you DM'd me, right? Yeah. Did you DM me or did I DM you?
I slid into your DMs.
Yeah, you slid into my DMs. And you were, like, asking to get coffee or something sometime, I think. Yeah. So I think that's so funny how that works. And then I was dating someone that went to UNC, so I was there a lot. And that's how we met. And we just started like, hanging out.
Yeah, we just like clicked instantly at that mm-hmm. coffee shop. I remember right after we took a photo.
Yes, I still have that photo. Yeah. I still have it. It's so funny. I remember what I was wearing.
Me too, actually.
It was raining that day.
It was raining. We were wearing rain boots.
Yes, I was wearing like thigh-high socks, a Brandy Melville white and black striped dress, and I think Vans. I remember that outfit so clearly, and I thought it was so cool. I was such a, like, Tumblr girl. I was wearing, like, a choker.
I was wearing, like, hunter boots with, like, denim shorts and a striped top.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I remember so clearly. Love at first sight.
I know. And since then, we've been, like, doing so many... We did so many things together.
I know.
In college.
I feel like I saw you the most out of anyone, and, like, we went to different schools.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. It's crazy. See, you guys can make your friendships on social media, too.
Yes.
But why did you decide to move to New York? So tell us why you made the jump from Fayetteville, North Carolina to New York City.
So I've always been a city girl at heart growing up, especially North Carolina. I just felt like I never fit in. Even in Chapel Hill, I could feel myself like, you know, craving that city, mm-hmm. city-esque life, you know, where... Like, the fashion was different, the drive was different, people were, you know, hustling and stuff. And in Carolina, it just, like, didn't have it.
Yeah.
You know, there was something lacking there. And I just knew, like, after college, well, I didn't have a job, you know, right after graduation. And I traveled for a bit in the summer. But then I knew New York was the place. It just, like, was meant to be. I interned there for a summer and... It felt like home, as, like, everyone else says, mm-hmm. you know? Like, you just kind of know that New York is the place you need to be.
I feel like New York is one of the only cities that's like that. Like, you don't... I don't know. I feel like I go to L.A. and I don't meet people that's like, I just knew I was meant to be in L.A.
Or, yeah.
You know, I feel like it's like, well, I want to be an actress, so I moved to L.A. Or I'm doing... My job is, like, the industry is here, so that's why I'm here. No one... I mean, I could be wrong, but most people are not like, I was just like, I knew I was meant to go to L.A.
Yeah, like, you don't hear that.
You know, but in New York, that is so common. Mm-hmm. So common. Like, for me, I knew I was going to move here one day.
Yeah, I remember.
It just felt like home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you got a job here after school, right?
Yes.
And then that moved you to the city.
Yes, and it was very tough my first year, like, first 6 months even, making that transition.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't in the sense that, like, I didn't have, like, that drive of, you know, like, I'm gonna make this work or whatever. It was like tough for me because of where I chose to live. So there's a lot of experiences I've learned throughout the years I've been here, and it's like, really make sure you know the area and like where it is that you want to live before actually deciding to like sign a lease there.
What was your experience with that? Why didn't you like where you lived?
I lived in Astoria, like mm-hmm. Queens. It wasn't even in the city, but for me, I think I took the sense that like I got to have a car, I had a one bedroom like apartment, and for me that was like, okay,
yeah,
you know, this is great, this is like the perfect transition. But then I worked in Midtown, so it was like an hour 30 commute,
yeah,
and it was
that's ridiculous
long hours, and I was like not, I wasn't sleeping, it was not healthy for me.
Yeah, no. And Grace, when she says she lived in Astoria, I feel like a lot of you guys are probably like, that's not that far, just take the subway over. So Grace lived right outside LaGuardia. Like,
yeah.
You lived right by LaGuardia. I remember visiting you. We would have to take a bus to the subway and then the subway to the city. And if we wanted to go to Lower Manhattan, we'd have to transfer while we were in the city.
Yeah.
So it took forever to get anywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, like, when you were out to the city, like, you had to be out all day. Like, you're not coming back home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so that's hard.
Yeah. My first job was a like a corporate job, and the hours were 9 to 6.
Yeah.
So I would wake up at 4 a.m. to hop on a bus and then get home at like 8 p.m.
Oh my gosh, yeah. No, yeah. That's so not healthy.
Yeah.
And you actually decided to do blogging full-time. So after your first job, you decided to do blogging full-time. How was that year of doing that full-time?
It was tough, actually. You know, even in the beginning, I didn't think it was gonna get easier. But I just knew that I wanted to really focus on my blogging, especially like coming out of college. That was something I really like wanted to pursue more mm-hmm. of. But, you know, New York City and like the rent and this money is like, it's financially hard. So I tried it for a year. And I think during that time, I really networked with a lot of people. Like, I yeah. met so many people, like agencies, other influencer content creators, and really just explored that area. Even though it didn't like work out the way I had wanted it to work out, I still gained a lot from those like contacts and experiences and all that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's something so hard to not have, that steady income, not know what's going to happen next and take that leap and try something new. And I feel like, I don't know, especially like for me, for example, with my online store, how I don't have that anymore, or I technically still do, but like I'm closing it. To me, that's so hard because I feel like, oh gosh, like it didn't do what I want. Like, I feel like I failed. Like, yeah. I literally feel, and I'm not saying that you feel like you failed, but I feel like I'm like embarrassed to talk about it. I don't want to say anything. And I don't know. I don't think you have to stick to every idea that you have. I don't think everything has to go exactly the way you planned. And like, that's not bad. I feel like you learn so many lessons that are so valuable. And that's like so much more beneficial than anything else.
Of course. Yeah. I think, no, I actually think that I in some ways failed too. Like,
which you didn't.
Yes,
but
exactly.
You'd learned so many lessons that you're gonna take with you forever now.
Yeah, and that time I really needed to figure out like what it is that I wanted and the direction I wanted to go in, and mm-hmm. I needed that time.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly. It was good for me in the end.
And what are some misconceptions of being a blogger? So you did it full time. So what are some things that people don't know?
I think people assume that we do nothing.
Yeah,
like in this. Meaning, like, we just wake up and start Instagram storying our entire morning, our coffee, and then our, quote, meetings and going to showrooms. It just, like, seems like we're just, like, living our lives on Instagram or something, and we don't do anything. And then people, like, start to question, like, how are they making money doing nothing? And, oh, they just have photo shoots here and there. So there's a lot of that that's being shown. And because that's what's being shown, people assume that that's all we do. But mm-hmm. just because it's not, you know, shown on social media doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
oh yeah, I think the same is with anyone that works in a social media job. Like, you think that, oh, you just do nothing all day.
Yeah,
that's nice. You probably wake up at what, like 10 a.m 11 a.m
exactly. Sleep, like, in, you're yeah. good, like, you know.
Yeah,
but you know, I think you can also say the same thing, but there's a lot of things we're doing in the meantime, in between all those, like, story takes or whatever. Like, we are doing emails, having calls, like, we're actually getting stuff done in order to do all those things.
Right, right. So, yeah, no, I think that blogging is something that people don't understand. Like, they don't know about as much, even more than YouTube, because YouTube, I can vlog what I'm doing and really, like, yeah, I don't show everything, but I can show a lot more. Blogging is harder because it's more photos. So right. It's harder to show the behind the scenes.
It constricts, yeah, a lot of things. Because writing constricts a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I completely agree. And after you decided to do blogging full time, you did go and get a job at a startup, like we were saying. How was that experience for you, going from working for yourself full time, having an open schedule that you can control, and then going back to the 9 to 5?
So I made that transition almost like a year later. Mm-hmm. It was like towards the end of that year, I would say like around Thanksgiving, when I realized that it really wasn't working for me. And mm-hmm. I mean, like, financially, it wasn't really what I had expected, especially with the mindset I had in college, you know, like the deep partnerships that were coming in. It just was very different here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I spoke with my family about it, and I just wanted to try social media again, but not for myself. Right. I was, for a year, I ran around kind of trying to build my own image and putting me the face of everything. And I like helping other brands grow. That's like something I'm really passionate about, and it's through social media. And so I think I wanted to really explore that again. Right. A little differently than my very first one, because this was more a brand that was not a big corporate brand. It was like a startup. They were also learning in the process. So I was like, I'm going to have creative freedom, and I'm going to be able to do a bunch of things for them, wear many hats.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I went about it, thinking this is going to be great. You know, I'm going to have a steady income. I'm going to be able to do what I love, which is help this brand grow.
Yeah. And did it meet your expectations?
I mean, there's a lot of things that went into this job that I wasn't, again, expecting. Mm-hmm. I definitely learned a lot from this previous job. I learned how to work with people.
Yeah, and that's so huge when you're working for yourself, because you don't get that
exactly.
experience. Yeah.
And with this job, you know, there was a lot of perks that came with it, but there was a lot of things where I still felt kind of pushed down, or like I felt like I wasn't reaching my full potential. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to show people that. Like, you can't force someone to see your own potential. Like, they kind of have to communicate and understand you. And that was just very difficult for the environment I was in.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely get that. And now you are making another big decision in your life, and you quit that job and are doing freelancing now full time.
Yes.
So now that you went from working a corporate job, quitting that, doing blogging full time, working a startup job, which is still kind of corporate, but, you know, working at a startup, getting that feel for a small company, and now you're doing freelance and working for yourself again. How is that transition? How is it going to be different than, like, blogging full-time, per se?
It's going to be much different because I'm approaching it so much differently, mm-hmm. Meaning that I want to still work with clients, but this time it's up to me. Like, it's my choice of who I want to work with, what I want to do for them, and I'm pitching myself in a freelance, as a freelancer, mm-hmm. not someone who is a talent.
Right.
And I think that's more fun because I still love what I did with my previous job. So I want to continue doing that, but this time having that freedom to do so, having that schedule, and really pushing, I don't know, stepping out of my comfort zone and pushing the limits.
Yeah, I'm so excited for you because I know that you're going to do so well. And also, as you were telling me this, I never even realized this before, but as we're going through kind of like your timeline and everything that you've done since you've been here, it's so amazing how it's worked out. Like, I feel like you had to get that corporate job experience to realize that you didn't want a big company. You wanted creative control. You had to work for a startup and see what that you liked working with brands. Like, that was a benefit of that, that you finally found like what you were meant to do working with brands, but that just wasn't the environment for you. And now you're doing exactly what you're meant to be. You know, like when you say it in that timeline, I think it's crazy because me and you have known each other forever. So I've seen it all happen in real time. So it doesn't, but when you say it all at once, it's like, oh wow, that all happened exactly the way I was supposed to.
Yeah.
You literally wouldn't have known that if you didn't have all those experiences.
Honestly. No, I even made it known that I was incredibly grateful for all the experiences that I went through and the opportunities they presented there.
Yeah.
Because like you said, how would I have known that, you know, I wanted to do certain things if I hadn't had put myself in the tough situations that I was in?
Yeah. So that's so true. And that's kind of the same with me with my online store. I realized I didn't like shopping for the pieces. I didn't like shopping for the clothes. I didn't like that it wasn't like my own clothing, you know, like I didn't design it or anything like that. I didn't like the photo shoots that had to go with it. Like, I didn't really like the creative aspect as much. I loved the marketing. I loved coming up with the ideas. I had so many ideas for the future with it. And that's literally, I was like, huh, I think I'm good at like coming up with ideas, and I'm good at strategizing, and I'm good at consulting. I'm good at building brands and finding personal brands. And literally that's how I came up with my consulting. So like I had to do that, and I had to not be, or like not pursue that full time. I had to quit that. I had to not, yeah, you know what I'm saying. I had to not do my online store for me to realize that consulting is what I was meant to do.
See, that's what's so amazing. And when we look back to see that, that's when we realize it. Like in those moments, we're like,
oh yeah,
I'm a failure. I can't believe I quit this. I can't believe, like, you know, I'm not good enough. Like I can't believe that I wasn't able to continue it or, you know, balance it. But then you look back and you're like, you know what? All of this led me to where I am now.
Yeah. And in the moment, yeah, like you were saying, like you're going to have some unhappy days and stressful days and days when you have anxiety and you're like, I don't know my next steps. Like, what am I doing?
Exactly.
And that is so normal, and that's okay, because you will get through it.
Right. And honestly, through this past year, as I was working a full time, I was questioning it. Constantly questioning, like, what do I even like to do? As I'm like, you know, doing social media for them, like, do I even like this? Like, am I even good at this? And I started nitpicking everything and questioning and challenging all these things. And as I was nearing the end of this job too, I was like, am I gonna make this, like, is this gonna be able to be a thing for me? Like, can I make this happen? Like, do I really enjoy it? And I think those questions are always going to be there, you know?
It's imposter syndrome also.
Exactly.
Like, why is someone hiring me?
Like, I know. You're like, wait, what do they see in me?
Yes. Oh my God, yes. Yeah. I think we all have imposter syndrome. Yeah. Everyone, even people at the top, must have imposter syndrome. So, I don't know. I think that that's really cool that we can look back and be like, nope, this is where I'm meant to be, though.
Yeah.
You've been very open with your followers about the struggles of living in New York, how everything that you've kind of gone through, and you are very honest about the ups and the downs. Do you think that being open has helped you? Do you think that, like, why do you decide to share all of that? Because most people, I'm going to be honest, most people only share the positives. So why do you share everything and, like, the negatives too?
Yeah, I think I share the negatives because that's been basically what I've been going through pretty much during this time, and it's a way of like coping with it too, even for me. Is, like you said, most people wouldn't really be open to sharing that, you know. Most people want to see the positives in
the highlight reels.
But it's not that I'm like trying to share like, hey, look at me, I'm real or whatever. It's just like, it's just a part of me, and
it's natural.
And so I realized by sharing all those things, I get more feedback from people who are dealing with the same struggles. And I've been able to really interact with my followers and the people who just constantly communicate with me. And I even help them through what it is that they're struggling with. So I think by sharing, I'm able to communicate even stronger with the people that want to interact with me.
Yeah. No, I think that that's so powerful, and it's so important to share not only the positives but the negatives too, because I don't know. I feel like as someone with a platform, you kind of have a responsibility. Some people might agree with or disagree with me, but I feel like you kind of have a responsibility to be honest and not only share your highlights and not only share the ups, because then it gives a unrealistic expectation.
Exactly.
And if you have a platform and you're using your platform, I feel like you should be honest with people.
Yeah.
And that means sharing the stuff that kind of you struggle with. And I get some people want to keep things private, and I totally respect that.
Right.
But I think that it's a disservice to your followers and to your audience if you're just going to say everything's good all the time and or only not. Show your perfect life. Exactly. And you're not.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah. So I think that that's something that I really admire, and I like really respect that of you, that you don't shy away from that.
Right. And I think there's been a lot of people that actually do communicate with me that asking, you know, is it the question you started with, is it easy to move to New York? And it just like everyone else paints it in a picture that New York is just the place to be. It's a dream home. And don't get me wrong, it is. But there's a lot of struggles that come with it. And you need to be prepared for that.
Yeah.
So I want to be as candid as possible about that.
Yeah. I feel like anything, there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. And it's just good that you are showing them all, you know. And I feel like New York also is so romanticized. New York is so romantic, and I'm not even gonna lie, I contribute to it. But for me, I do know I'm in like the honeymoon stage. Like, I'm like, oh my god, I love it. And like Christmas just passed, and Christmas in the city is so nice. And I was here for fall, you know. I wasn't here for like a really cold winter yet or like a really hot summer yet, so talk to me in a year. But I don't know, I feel like it's also different for everyone. Like, I know that there's struggles that come here, and don't get me wrong, I have like felt some of them too, but I also understand that like everyone's experience is going to be different, and I don't want people to ever compare their experience to someone else's. Like, kind of, we're about to record a podcast with Grace actually all about comparison, so if you guys want to check that out, I'll have it in the show notes. But I'm just saying, like, I feel like some people might feel disappointed because it's like, well, Natalie made it seem like it was so great, and I now move here and it's not that great. It's like, my experience is not the majority, and your experience is not the majority. Like, your experience is your own experience, and you're gonna have people that relate, and you're gonna have people that don't relate. And same with me, you know? So I think that's something also that we can talk about in your podcast too, but it's not the same for everyone.
Right.
So, I don't know. Anyways, I don't know if that was a tangent, but Grace and I are just having like a heart to heart right here. We're sitting on my living room floor.
There's a mic in front of us?
Yeah, what? So you have been on social media for a very long time. When did you start blogging?
2010.
Yeah, so 10 years. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Whoa.
It's actually 10 years.
10 year anniversary coming up. Do you remember the month?
October.
Oh.
I'll have a 10 year thing for that.
Yeah, you should. We should have a party.
Yeah, we should.
Get the balloons.
What are you celebrating?
My blog's 10 years old. 10 years old. It's my child. It's literally your child
now.
It is
my child.
Like, you have a actual child.
Yeah.
A 10-year-old kid.
Someone's going to hear this out of context. Like, I know. Grace has a child.
Oh, yeah. You have seen social media change so much. So how has it changed, in a quick little summary, from 2010 to now? Like, you have literally seen the start of social media to what it is today.
Okay. So to give you the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah.
I actually started Instagram when Instagram first started.
Whoa.
Yeah, so.
Actually, me too.
Yeah.
I remember I thought it was a photo editing app. I didn't realize it was a social media.
I know.
So I would literally post like 20 pictures a day because I would just edit them all.
Yeah.
With like the little Instagram borders, yeah, and like I would post them. And I just thought it was an editing app. And then all of a sudden I saw someone like my picture and someone follow me. And I'm like, wait, what is this?
I know. Actually, I thought it was like a photo album thing. Like Facebook, where you just like upload 50 at one time and then you just like tag people or something. So to summarize, seeing the start of Instagram and just really trying to understand it from the very beginning of like what it even was, you know, learning about these like filters, these borders. And then as like a blogger, I started meeting other like bloggers online and just kind of seeing how other people were doing it. We all just really learned from each other, trying out these like little fun giveaways that we would do, collaborating on blogs together. And so from there, it just like grew in a way where like a community started to be built. And as it expanded, like there were new filters that came in. There were people starting to use different photo editing apps to bring into Instagram. It started becoming like high quality photos, and then the start of videos. So basically accumulation of all these different types of ways to communicate with people virtually. Mm-hmm. Now you see like sponsored ads and brands really utilizing it for their products, and then you see these influencers and celebrities start to use it for their platform. So like a lot has happened leading up to where we are now with Instagram, and I've always, and I still see it as like a communications tool, meaning that there's never one way to communicate something. We just recently had Kobe Bryant and, you know, like the other 7 passengers pass away. And so I've just been watching how people have really reacted to his death on social media. And I'm sure you've seen it too, of like how people are remembering him. And it's incredible because like something like that, something so tragic, can bring an entire community together on Instagram.
Yeah, that's so true. And it spreads like wildfire too.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really true, how it is a method of communication. And it might not have started exactly that way, but like that's totally what it is today. Actually, I guess it did start that way too.
But we just took some time to figure it out.
I think that's crazy that we were there from the beginning.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
I know.
We were there from the start. We're like the only generation of people that can say now that we were there when it started.
Exactly.
Like all of these social media platforms that are coming, we are the first ones. Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like TikTok, Vine.
Oh, yeah.
I lived through the start and the end of Vine.
Yeah. The Vine days.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Like all of that. Yeah. Even MySpace. I had a MySpace, guys.
Yeah.
But anyways, I am so glad that you came on my podcast. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can they find you? Where can they follow you? And also, if a brand is listening, how can they contact you?
You can contact me on my blog, my website, www.gracefullymade.com.
Perfect.
And you can also find me on Instagram at @bygracely.
I'll have it in the show notes. I'll have everything in the show notes.
Yeah. And my podcast, where Natalie will be.
Perfect. I can't wait. So thank you again for coming on. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. It was just two friends catching up.
Yep. Thank you.
So how did you like listening to this podcast episode? I thought it was so great, and Grace was so open and so honest, which just means so much to me. So if you guys liked it, be sure to review it on iTunes. Give it 5 stars if you guys like the episode. And if you guys want me to interview other people, let me know on the Facebook page which people you would like me to interview. Follow us on Instagram. Everything's going to be in the show notes. But thank you guys for watching, and I will see you guys next week on another episode of The Real Real Podcast.